shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Shooting From The Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. No prizes for guessing what we're going to be talking about today. It's Theresa May, who's holed up in the Downing Street bunker. She can't survive, can she? And also, what's going to happen in the big EU vote? I believe that it's going to be a tsunami to Nigel Farage and the Brexit Party. But to discuss this with me, I've got the editor of altnewsmedia.net, Mr. David Vance.
Shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon, David.
Good afternoon, John.
What is going to happen then? What's your view of what's going to happen to May and indeed in the election?
Well, I think it's one of those days where the political seismic plates, the tectonic plates, shift. And I think what we're going to see is a result without precedent, John, in British electoral history, because I also believe that the Brexit Party will win, and they will win by a margin which 5 weeks ago was inconceivable and which is going to have consequences for a very long time across the body politic for the Conservatives, but also for Labour as well. So, you know, what a time to be alive.
It is very, very exciting. It's got to be said. So do you think Farage will get more seats than he did? I think it was 24 back in 2014. Do you think he'll get more seats this time with the Brexit Party? And will the Conservatives be completely wiped out?
Yes, and probably yes. I think he's going to get, if the polls are anything on the mark, and I know we all have to be a bit cautious about polls, John, but it would seem to me that if he doesn't get anything sort of, he gets certainly more than 30 seats, and he might get 33 to 35, which means that the Tories could end up with as few as a couple of seats. So I think the Brexit Party will do even better than UKIP did in 2014. And I think the Conservatives are going to actually, John, certainly in terms of share of the vote, record the biggest defeat since 1832, since their formation, because I think the worst percentage share vote the Tories have ever had was under the redoubtable John Major back in 97, when they came in, I think it was 27%, something like that, 27% of the vote. And as you see at the moment, they're polling about 9%. So Theresa May has basically reduced the party to rubble.
So what does that mean then? Because they're not going to sit for long, are they? Because this is certainly going to, well, it's got to hasten our Brexit, hasn't it, on WTO terms, if indeed he wins the victory by the margin you're suggesting.
Well, I think the likelihood of a WTO Brexit becomes so much more likely now, well, assuming that the result goes the way that we all think, because what it does is it puts the clean break Brexit that we all voted for back in 2016, it puts it right at the top of the table.
And so it is a second referendum today, as far as you're concerned.
It is. You know, we have so many on the Remain side whining about people's referendum, people's vote. Well, you're going to get one today, and it's not going to give you what you want, because you're going to see an unequivocal, unprecedented demand for Brexit and Brexit now. Clear, unambiguous, John, and as I say, without historical precedence.
Okay, so why are people voting for him? And is this a kind of Trump moment, that what he's done is he's got tapped into that discontent of people who feel they're misrepresented? Is that what Farage is doing?
I think that's a really good question. And I think the answer is, I think we are beginning to see the equivalence of a Trump thing happening. The genius of Farage has been right time, right place. So he's brought this Brexit Party into the political sphere, just as the ordinary people are sick to the back teeth of what we've had to endure for the last 3 years. So, John, you know, the moral is 17.4 million angry people, and a party comes along and says it's the Brexit Party, just which, you know, light fuse, sit back and watch what happens.
Now, the MSM, though, are interpreting this as, yes, he's basically got those people to vote and they're lending their vote to him. It's a protest vote. But I'm picking up it's more than that, because I think if he wins on the level that we're talking about, this is more than a protest. This is the end, perhaps, of the Tories and even maybe Corbyn and Labour. Am I going too far to say that? And so therefore they won't be borrowed votes. These will be permanent allegiances. Is that fantasy?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's you're exactly tapped into the zeitgeist of the moment. I think that the need and the demand for change has been there, but the Tories refuse to give it, Labour refuse to give it, and the Brexit Party is absolutely giving it. And, you know, the Farage has been very clever. He's campaigned for this particular election on the clear sort of breach of democracy and we must leave in a WTO deal. That's clear. And people respond to sort of clear messages. That's what Donald Trump done, John, back in 2016 as well. And look what happened.
But what about the argument, though, he hasn't got a manifesto? He's only doing it on the one issue. I personally feel that's fine in an EU election. It is pretty clear cut, isn't it? In or out, as it always has been.
Yeah, again, I mean, a genius thing from Farage. We've all seen these parties produce their meaningless manifestos, which they all betray anyway, and which none of them have any chance of implementing in the European Parliament. And so people see, John, there's been fundamental dishonesty in the body politic. And this Brexit Party thing has just appeared and it's just blown away all the dishonesty, all the lies, all the double standards, the hypocrisy. And that's why it's going to win so big today. And that's why what you say is right, I believe, too. We're seeing something that's going to change the face of British politics. Back in 2014, when UKIP had that historic victory in the EU then. I mean, that's what made, obviously, as we all know, David Cameron call the referendum that happened in 2016. So, you know, these European Union results do have consequences. But this time around, I think the consequence is the complete transformation for the better of British politics. And I salute that. That's good.
Yeah, but you say the genius of Farage. Is it the genius of Farage or is it an American influence? Is it Tice, Richard Tice? Do you feel he's been very influenced by his visits there? And then, of course, we can't have this discussion without talking about the allegations from The Guardian and Channel 4 about Aaron Banks funding him and, you know, where's the money coming from now? Is that all just smears? Does that bother you? Because you say it's going to change politics, but many people, well, mainly in the MSM, believe that Farage is the same as every other establishment politician. Lots to answer there. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think the Farage is identified, and many of us, myself included, would also agree that the media, the MSM itself, is a fundamental problem that in many degree needs swept away. So what they do is they can't win on the argument, so they go after the man, and that's why we've had all these the innuendos, the smears from the likes of Gordon Brown. I mean, there's an irony, John. A guy who essentially wrecked the British economy comes to lecture Farage on his PayPal account.
I said on Twitter earlier in the week, this is the man who sold our gold reserves for less than the amount of beans that Jack got for his cow in the pantomime. We don't need any lectures from Mr. Boom and Bust Man, do we?
No, we don't. And we don't need The Guardian and the rest of them trying to do the predictable thing and smear. This is all they've done. This is obviously leading up to today to try and damage Brexit Party. But again, John, I think we've reached the point in our political evolution here in the UK where the smears just don't work anymore.
I agree. I think they could have told us he was a serial killer and people would still vote for him today.
I also put something out about the fact that, you know, I'm surprised they haven't said that if elected, you know, he will organise the slaughter of the firstborn. And it still won't matter. People, and you know, I'm sure we'll talk about this, John. The UKIP sort of vote was one thing, but the Brexit vote's a different thing because it's across the broader political spectrum, you know, left and right. And that's why the vote is going to be so powerful.
And that can't be denied, can it? Because you've got people like Claire Fox on the left who said things in the past that I definitely disagree with. She says things nowadays that I almost always do agree with. Then you've got Martin Daubney, and then you've got, you know, Rees-Mogg's sister. It is a right broad church, and also in terms of class, religion, and in race, which you could never really say to UKIP. I often thought he's a bit of a put-up candidate to tick that box. With Farage, I don't think that's actually happened. I think this is just, he selected the, what he thinks are the best people.
And he selected very, very wisely. I think that one of the problems I think many of us have is with these career politicians, the people that infest Westminster. So that political class needs cleared out, and the Aegean stables do need cleansed. And these candidates, the Farage, again, very, very clever. People like Martin Daubney, like Claire Fox, like Annunciata Rees-Mogg.
I'm glad you pronounced the name. Go on.
Yeah. I was just showing off, John. These are fantastic candidates, and they seem to be people who are genuinely wanting to do the right thing for our country. And that's a good reason to vote for people. So that's why this is a transformational day in our history. And the selection of these candidates has been really good. So, you know, whatever the motivations or however they've done it, you know, even to have like an Anne Widdecombe, for example, making a comeback, you know, age 70 plus, I think that's great. So all age groups, all demographics across the spectrum, great stuff.
I tell you what is very interesting is Anne Widdecombe. We'll talk about her in a moment. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk about Theresa May and the fact that she's holed up in the bunker. And what's the future for politics? Are we going to have PR, for example? We'll come on to that in a moment. But you're listening to John Gaunt. It's Shooting from the Lip, Sputnik International. Special guest today, the editor of altnewsmedia.net, David Vance. So, David, I want to talk to you about Anne Widdecombe. I saw a bit on the TV. No, was it on the TV? It was in a newspaper where they basically followed Anne Widdecombe around with Farage. And I think they were in Pontefract, and it was in a miners' club. And this woman said, "We've just cheered Anne Widdecombe. A few years ago, we'd have hung the bitch." And that was the language they used. That's the remarkable thing that Farage is pulling off, isn't it? Anne Widdecombe in northern industrial towns. She was, you know, they used to call her Doris Karloff. They thought she was more right-wing than Maggie Thatcher. And now there's ex-miners cheering her. What's that about?
It's about the fact that many of those ex-miners voted to leave the European Union in 2016, like so many other people in the north of England. And they've been betrayed by the Labour Party. And Jeremy Corbyn's, you know, sitting on the fence, all things to all men policy. So I think, again, that there's been this kind of void on the political left for at least, 5 million Labour voters, John, many of whom will be ex-miners who didn't have and no longer have any confidence in Corbyn. And all of a sudden, up rocks Farage and Widdecombe and under this Brexit party. And that's why Brexit, John, it's no longer right versus left in the UK. It's about right versus wrong. And it's right to respect the vote of the people in a given election. And that's what hasn't happened. And now it is.
OK, so let's talk about respect and respecting the result. What do you make of Milkshake Gate?
It's disappointing to see the feral left reduced to essentially assaulting people in the street because they don't agree with them. I think it's deplorable. I hope Farage successfully prosecutes the individual in Newcastle who milkshaked him. And, you know, John, we've heard so much over the last 3 years, further to the death of the brutal murder of Joe Cox. I deplore all political violence. You know, it's not a very big journey from a milkshake in the face to a brick in the face. And what comes after that? A knife in the back? So, no, I deplore
it. Well, it happened in the Netherlands, didn't it? Pip Fortuyn, he got a cake over him full of excrement. And I think 9 days later, during their general election in 2002, he was stabbed to death in the street.
Absolutely right. And that is, unfortunately, one of the things that's happened is that because Theresa May didn't take us out of the European Union as she was told to do, the political left have kind of festered and they've become more essentially violent. So the milkshake thing, I completely condemn it. No one of any political persuasion, John, right, left or centre or whatever, should have to face that kind of thing when they're going about the business of just simply trying to put their policies out there. It's deplorable. And I'll tell you what's worse. When you see someone, the MSM, having a chuckle, people like Kevin Maguire in the Daily Mirror, who think it's all such a laugh, wouldn't it be awful if they got milkshake? That would be deplorable.
Not only that, David, of course, when his glorious supreme leader, Jeremy Corbyn, got an egg thrown at him, the guy, in a way, rightly, in my opinion, went to Nick for 28 days. Just before we go on from that, then, there was a story yesterday that Farage was trapped on his bus because lots of people were standing outside the bus with milkshakes. Raheem Kassam, who was there, basically said this was an example of fake news. Now, this was broken in the Sun newspaper. What's that all about? Because they must have had a reporter there to know whether this is true or not. Raheem Kassam, I know he's a mate of Farage's, he says it's absolute fake news.
That's right. And I'm sure maybe you saw the photographs of Farage and a couple of others standing, smiling outside the bus. So I think, again, it's the way the MSM works. They seem to want to keep this milkshake thing running, and, you know, the fear of milkshakes. Further evidence to me, John, that if you're sensible, you don't pay any attention to the mainstream media.
The only good news is throwing a milkshake at somebody is probably better for you than drinking that chemical sugary drink. Thank you, David. You're listening to the John Gaunt Show. It's Shooting from the Lip. It's Sputnik International. In the second half of the show, we're going to move on to the future of British politics. We're going to talk about the future, if there is one, for Theresa May. Don't go away, much more to come with me and my special guest this week, David Vance, editor of altnewsmedia.net.
Shooting from the Lip.
Okay, you're back with John Gaunt. It's Shooting from the Lip. It's Sputnik International. And David Vance is still with me. David, Theresa May then, a tsunami of a victory. I think we were agreeing on that today, probably for your man, Nigel Farage. Results, of course, out on Sunday, right across Europe, Sunday night. But where are we with Theresa May? And what did you make of the fact that she made this speech? What did it mean?
Well, actually, John, I watched the speech that she made. And I watched it with my wife, and I turned to my wife and I said, that is the end of Theresa May. It just demonstrated something I think many of us feel, that she's tone deaf, she's out of touch. She, you know, being obstinate, John, isn't always a virtue. So I think she essentially finished, that was her political obituary when she made that speech the other day at Charing Cross. You've seen the reaction to it. Very, very quickly, the walls came tumbling down.
But what was the speech about? What was she trying to do? I just looked, I was watching it in a pub. I'd been on a walk. I was having me sparkling water. And I watched it on Sky on my mobile phone with my headphones in. I was like Eddie Murphy, you know, when he sings Roxanne in that movie. Because everybody was looking at me, because I was going, bah! And I was saying words I shouldn't say. Because I couldn't believe it when she went on about, I've tried to deliver Brexit. The woman is, I think she's deluded. I think she's almost mad. And I think the only way she's going to get out of Downing Street if she comes out in that designer jacket where the sleeves tie up at the back, if you know what I mean, David. What is going on?
There is a problem with Theresa May. You know, she doesn't seem to listen to anybody apart from a couple of the Europhiles in the Downing Street bunker. And she is absolutely politically tone deaf. I mean, there are other people who have occupied that office, such as Tony Blair, who I didn't care for, but he did have political antennae to which way the wind is blowing. Theresa May doesn't. She's absolutely tone deaf, determined to push through something that nobody wants, and she's achieved the impossible. She's united the House of Commons and the country against herself. So yes, she's got the sofa against the door in number 10. She doesn't want to let them in. And this is denial on a cosmic scale, John, but the evil day is going to come, whether it's today, tomorrow or Monday, and she will be gone, and thank God for it.
Now, this is a metaphor. Please don't interpret it in any other way. But you'd think somebody would hand her the glass of whiskey and the metaphorical revolver, wouldn't you? There's no way out of that bunker, if you follow what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. And again, you're absolutely right. But for me, you see, the problem is much deeper than Theresa May. The problem is her cabinet, who have supported the toxic withdrawal agreement. The problem is the useless, spineless 1922 committee who just sit back and let it all happen. And the problem is, you know, the couple of hundred Tory MPs who were quite happy to vote for her deal. So actually, John, I think this is one of these sort of, again, one of these moments where the problem is now so much bigger than Theresa May. The Conservative Party itself, it's kryptonite, it's toxic. And that's why, you know, I believe she'll be remembered as the Prime Minister who became the Undertaker of the Conservative Party.
You really think the Tory party are finished? You don't think the election or the coronation, I think it will have to be, because they've got to act quickly. They can't have an electoral contest and leave her as the caretaker, which is what some people are suggesting, until October. If we got the coronation of Boris, would that not save it, or is it too late now?
I think it's too late. And I think, you know, another thing, Boris is another, in my opinion, paper tiger. Boris trooped in and supported the withdrawal agreement as well. And I've heard Farage mention the fact that both Boris and Dominic Raab, when it came to the crunch moment, John, they supported her deal. That's why they're all contaminated. And it's the thing about Boris, you know, becoming potentially the next leader. I mean, there's a group sitting at the heart of the Conservative Party, certainly at Westminster anyway, let's say, who are, you know, the ABB, you know, anyone but Boris group. And so you've got a party that's toxic, that's divided against itself, and I think it has to fall, and it will fall. And step one is today when you see it humiliated, and we see the results on Sunday night. Let me put it to you this way, John. When HMS Titanic hit the iceberg and was fatally flawed, damaged under the water, it wouldn't have mattered who changing the captain then. It's too late.
I accept that. So she's going to go by Monday at the latest. I think she'll go Friday. She obviously didn't go Wednesday night into Thursday because of the election, although it might have helped them if she had, in my opinion. But she's going to go. You're saying it's the end of the Tories. Does that naturally lead on to you believing there'll be a general election? And then is there a danger that Comrade Corbyn could get into power?
Yeah, there's always a danger that Comrade Corbyn could get into power. But, you know, I don't think we should be, we just can't continue with things as they are. So in the first instance, the government is unstable. And as you know, John, it's anyway fully reliant on the DUP just to govern. So I think that, depending on what happens, that unstableness will actually bring the government down anyway, whether it's in the autumn or whether it's in the early part of next year.
But in that respect, then we could end up with Corbyn. Farage at the moment, he has done amazingly well for the last 6 weeks, a party that's only just been set up. And, you know, we all agree, even people who hate Farage think he's going to have a landslide victory. But how does he convert that in the first, the past, the post system, which, of course, a general election is held under? And also, would he have the funding to put up enough candidates? He's not going to get into number 10, is he? Could he hold the balance of power? How realistic is any of that?
Yeah, I think, well, your last point is, again, spot on, John. I think, given the nature of our first past the post system, I mean, the first past the post system is designed to keep in place the two-party hegemony. I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah, but you've just told me the two-party system is on the verge of collapse, if it hasn't already collapsed.
That's right. And this is where you're spot on, John. What will happen is, in a general election, because of that first past the post system, you couldn't see it won't be like today where the Brexit Party get, you know, 300 seats, but they could easily pick up 40 or 50 seats. So if you have a suddenly the emergence of a 40, 50 seat Brexit Party, a 10-seat DUP, maybe 140 residual Tories, that's enough to form a grand coalition that could take us actually into, that could form a government. And don't forget, Labour itself has got all kinds of trouble. I mean, the media don't talk about Labour's problems, but Labour may get as little as 13-14% in these European elections. So, and we saw what happened to them in the local council elections. So the transformation of British politics will take a little time. But I'm not scared of Comrade Corbyn. I mean, I'll tell you what, John, the good thing about Corbyn, if he got into power, within about a year, there'd be a further general election because he would annihilate the economy. He would destroy everything. And so maybe that would just speed up the change. So we shouldn't be scared of...
That is interesting. I interviewed James Dellenpole on this series a few months ago, and he said a similar kind of thing, which is, I'll take a bit of chaos from Corbyn because that'll bury Labour forever. Is that kind of where you're coming from? At this moment in time, things can't get much worse, and we could see him off as well?
Well, absolutely right, because, you know, the thing about Corbyn is he obviously has his whole Marxist agenda, and that always fails, and that'll fail very, very quickly, and that could then finish off Labour for good. And so, again, I'd feel similar to James Dellenpole. We shouldn't be scared of it. I'm not saying we should desire it, but that shouldn't stop us doing the right thing. And the right thing is to, in my opinion, to support the Brexit Party and to bring fundamental change here in the UK.
If that result is as strong as you're suggesting by Sunday night, do you think we could see the ushering in of PR voting in general elections as well?
Well, this will be, I think, part of the conversation we're going to have to get into, because whilst Farage has been, you know, focused on just purely the democracy aspect of the EU elections, he has talked about some other stuff like the, you know, potentially abolishing the House of Lords, which I'd like to see, changing the Electoral Commission, which I'd like to see, and potentially, John, and this is where I've changed my own political views. I'd like to see PR come in because ultimately I think it creates better choice and more options. The two parties, the system we have, John, which I previously always supported, I've come to realize that no, all it does is it supports a duopoly. You know, Buggins turn, Labour this time, Tories the next. Enough of that. We have to change.
So that has to change. And of course, for people who now are listening to this thinking, oh, they're just two fruit right-wing fruit bats, none of this is going to happen. We only have to look at the DUP with 10 seats. They were basically dictating policy. The amount of money they got for Northern Ireland proves that. And the way that they helped to scupper May's Brexit Brino deal. So it could be that if Farage got himself 40 or 50 seats, he would hold that kind of power and get these kind of things through. Because if they didn't agree with him, whether it's Labour or whether it's the Tories who are, I guess, nominally in power, had the biggest majority, he could force these things, couldn't he?
You're absolutely right. I mean, the DUP have exercised significant control over government policy, and they've only had 10 seats. I think the Brexit Party would get, you know, 4 to 5 times that, 40, 50 seats maybe. So when you look at it in that context, and also, John, when you look at it from the point of view of a Conservative Party, which is going to be, you know, absolutely staggering from one place to the other, no matter who's in charge of it, I think the Conservative Party might recognise that its only chance of survival would be to accept making certain changes.
Could you see the DUP aligning either formally or informally with Brexit people?
Oh, I think so. I mean, so for example, today here in Northern Ireland, where I'm speaking from, John, there is no Brexit Party candidate because the Brexit Party have given the DUP free rein here in Northern Ireland. So there's clearly an informal arrangement between the two parties. I would think that would, if anything, that will continue.
Okay, so Theresa May goes, Conservatives are finished, in your opinion. Labour, well, he might get in, but so what? Let's just, before we finish, got 2 or 3 minutes left, let's talk about the role of the MSM, the mainstream media. Are they going to have to look at themselves and perhaps change attitudes? I mean, obviously, we all want the BBC abolished, but, you know, the newspapers, I mean, they're coming, they're warming to Farage a little bit. What do you think's going to happen there? Because they've got to sell papers. And if he wins by this massive result, right, they're going to definitely want those people to also buy the Sun or the Mail or the Telegraph, if you follow my kind of logic.
Oh, I do, but just with respect to those newspapers, and let's take the Daily Mail, for example, which has been the new editor who has been such a fanboy for Theresa. And yet, if you read yesterday's editorial and one of the columnists, you can detect the U-turn being executed as they suddenly realise maybe Theresa wasn't the right horse. My punchline on it is, John, that I think the mainstream media, it's a busted flush. I don't think people pay much attention to any of them anymore, certainly not to the BBC, not to Sky, not to ITV, when it comes to the press. People have moved on and they don't influence us anymore. This is the good thing. There's a certain freedom that people now have. People can make their minds up for themselves. They can listen to, you know, to you, John. They can listen to others. They can listen to me and take a view themselves. And it's not just the demise of the Conservative Party I would like to see. It's the demise of the mainstream toxic media. I would love to see that as well.
Okay, we've only got a minute left then. Just tell me, UKIP, are they finished? And what do you think will happen to Tommy Robinson in these elections?
UKIP are sadly finished. They're going to be wiped off the political map, which is a bit regrettable, but there you go. And as for Tommy Robinson, I don't really, it's an interesting one, John. I've seen I followed it. The crowds he attracts are huge. Whether that translates into actually getting elected, I don't know. But if he was to be elected, that would be another blow to the establishment. So from that point of view alone, I'd probably quite welcome it.
David Vance, editor of newsmedia.net, thank you for joining me. What a great interview. And what, this is what we want with Shooting from the Lip. People who aren't scared to express those opinions and also being given the time to expand on them. I'll be back next week with another guest who will shoot from the lip. We'll have the results of the EU elections by then. And by God, are we living through historical times. This is John Gaunt, Shooting from the Lip, Sputnik International. Thank you for listening.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.